in the last few days, around the time of Sri Radhashtami, I've been speaking mostly about topics of Krishna's love, particularly for the gopis and for Radha, and Radha's love for Krishna. Very high topics. Now I'm going to resume speaking on Vishnu Sahasranama, on the name Nivritatma, which I spoke on, but there's more to speak. The name Nivritatma means, several meanings are given. The prime meaning is one whose being, he's renounced. Now we may think, well, that's a big step down, isn't it, from Gopi Leela to Vishnu Sahasranam, and talking about God being renounced, and it's a bit of a... No, it's not a step down, actually, because Krishna is absolute. Srila Prabhupada several times said that discussing Krishna's pastimes of killing the demons is as good as discussing his dancing with the gopis. That Krishna, he loves the gopis, he loves the cows. He doesn't love the cows any less. There's no meaning to being a gopi unless you have cows, right? This gopi literally means a cowherd girl. So we shouldn't see it as a step down. As and when we get up there, we could maybe say that they're in rasa vichar, there are higher and lower levels in consideration of one's level of rasa vichar, how do I say? Consideration of one's relationship and all that comes from that relationship. Well, Srila Prabhupada was certainly on the highest platform, and he taught us that we shouldn't see any... There's no mundane distinction, that's the point. That's the point. Now, talking about God being renounced, and before I was speaking about how he has his gopi leela, does it mean that he wakes up someday and thinks, actually, all this licentiousness is not good. I should become renounced. That's what happens in the material world. There are many cases like that. A prime one being Bilva Mangal Thakur, whose illicit affairs before he compiled Krishna Kanamrita are documented to show the power of Krishna's attraction. But he became renounced, thinking, how bad is this? Srila Prabhupada also cites the case of Yamuna Acharya, who, at least we've heard, he made this statement, Yadavadhi Krishna Padaravinde Neva Neva Rasa Dhamma Rudyantam Rasit Bhavati Mukha Tadavadhi Bata Nari Sangame Smaryamane Bhavati Mukha Vikaru Sushtu Nishtivanam Cha. Srila Prabhupada explained that formerly he was a king enjoying the opulences of kingly life, which includes enjoying beautiful women. But he says that having now attained the ever-increasingly new rasa, the enjoyment of Krishna, of being in Krishna's service, that when I think back to how I used to enjoy in the association of women, I become disgusted and my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So renunciation comes when, well, it often arises from disgust at one's own fallen state in sexual indulgence. Another example, Bhatri Hari, there are so many. It's a standard thing. Even if one is not very lusty and licentious, it may arise. An example is given of Bharat Maharaj in that regard, who, he wasn't lusty. We have no description of him being lusty and licentious, but he gave up his kingly position with all its opulence and pleasure. He renounced that for the sake of being Krishna conscious. So does it mean that Krishna, he has his gopi leelas and then he thinks, actually, this isn't good. I'd better renounce. I'd better go and become my Narayan Rishi avatar. Is it that he becomes good? Like there's these rascal, what are they called? Brahma Kumaris. They say that, and maybe Jains also say that before them, that Krishna, he did so many bad things. But next time he'll come, he'll be pure. And this is rascaldom. Actually, it's rascaldom. Everything he does is pure. Krishna's renunciation is not on the platform of our renunciation. He doesn't have to realize anything. As Srila Prabhupada often mentioned, it's not that he became God by doing meditation. There are foolish people who propose that, well, you do meditation and then you realize that you're God. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out that even as a newly born baby, Krishna showed that he was God. For instance, the first instance was appearing in a four-handed form, and then in Vrindavan killing Putana, which even great demigods could not imagine doing. So Krishna is always God. He doesn't have to realize it. He doesn't have to renounce anything. His gopi leela is the essence of his very being and of his godliness. It's not that in Vrindavan Krishna stops being godly. He takes a break from being godly. The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. He runs out the door and goes and does some illicit activities and then he goes back to being respectable. It's not like that. Madhurja Bhagavata Sa, his sweet pastimes and his sweetness, that is the essence of his godliness, the very essence of his being. Now, some people say, now, come on, God's got to be better than that. I mean, we'd, on our platform, on this world, very low-class people, they go to prostitutes and they indulge in fornication and adultery. But even respectable people of this world don't do it. So what to speak of God? You can't say that's God. God's got to be better than us. I'm a very moral person if I just have one wife and I don't misbehave with other women. That's very much so. At least God should come to that standard, we may think. Well, that's why we don't go to the Gopi Leela immediately. We have to, even Vyasadev in presenting, Shukadev presenting the essence of everything to Parikshit, he didn't immediately state it. He first spoke of renunciation. He first spoke of the worthlessness of sex life, Shukadev, to Parikshit, of material attachment in family life. Those were the very first words he spoke. Griheshu grihamedhinam deha patyakala tradishu. All these things. So it is a fact that it is difficult to, it can be a stumbling block in our presentation of Krishna consciousness, that people are, especially people with a critical mentality, they're very prone to criticize this, Krishna's apparent immorality. But on the other hand, if we don't talk about these things, if we don't talk about them at all, it might seem that, well, we're just trying to hide them. We also think they're somewhat immoral. And if it's not spoken of at all, then no one will know of it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal all these things to us. He is the supreme enjoyer. He's also the supreme renouncer. That's what we're talking about, Nivritatma. No one can enjoy like him. and no one can renounce like him. But from our side, we should take his lessons and follow his example in renunciation and not try to imitate his gopi lila. Material life means one way or the other, we're trying to imitate Krishna's position as the supreme enjoyer. And then spiritual life begins with becoming disgusted with all this and wanting to renounce. So in material life, we're imitating Krishna's gopi lila and we don't want to do the renunciation. And spiritual life means that we at least theoretically give up the prospect, or at least we understand mentally that the prospect of enjoying this material world is the cause of bondage within it. Therefore, we should renounce that desire and perform activities of renunciation so that we can become free from all material desires. So Krishna comes to show that as Naranarayan Rishi and in other avatars also. But it's not, he comes to show the path of renunciation, but personally, he's got nothing to renounce. He is the supreme enjoyer. His renunciation is another aspect of his enjoyment. It's not that he has to practice to become renounced. He may follow the rules and regulations of the sannyas order, but it's not that he has to do that because he's agitated by mundane sexual desires. For him, renunciation is an inherent characteristic. It's not something that he cultivates or it's something that he acquires by cultivation. I must admit, when I first came across the list of the six opulences of Sri Krishna, of Bhagavan, to be more precise, Bhagavan, and the renunciation came there, I thought, I was surprised. Yeah, okay, very good, okay. We have Aishwarya, his wealth, he owns everything, fine, no problem. Aishwarya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, he's all powerful, he's all famous, he's all beautiful, he's all knowledgeable. Okay, fine, that's God, no problem, we can accept that. But renounced? Why should he be renounced? That doesn't seem like a characteristic of God. He's the supreme enjoyer. This is how I thought. Renunciation is required for those with a false enjoying tendency. It's required for those who want to make spiritual advancement. But then why should God be renounced? He owns everything. Why? He naturally owns everything. He has an absolutely valid claim. And he has the documents to prove it. It's called the Vedic literatures. Although if anyone disputes his claim, well, Murha, Janmani, Janmani, they can go to hell. But why renunciation? Why should he renounce? Why should he give it all up? Well, he's categorically different from us in the matter of being God. Why should he renounce? It's actually saying for spiritual advancement, renunciation is required. But that is especially stressed by the impersonalists. We have to learn from his example. He teaches that by his example, the necessity of it. But still, as we can see, Srila Prabhupada, he also said this, and we can see it, the impersonalists are more strict in following rules. If they're real Mayavadis, they're more strict in following rules of renunciation. In bhakti, there's also detachment. Bhakti, definition is given in the Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. Bhakti means experience of God and concomitant detachment from everything else. However, although some rules need to be followed so that we don't get again completely entangled in material life, the bhakti process is a positive process. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who accepted sannyas to renounce, he's demonstrated this, the joy of bhakti, the spiritual joy of bhakti, from which renunciation arises automatically. Rasavajang rasopi asya parang drishtva nivartate. By getting a higher taste, then automatically instead of the nirahara, instead of giving up objects of enjoyment, we get a higher taste. And if we, on the platform of the higher taste, then we come to yukta vairagya, applied, practical renunciation, being not attached to the anasaktasya vishayan, not being attached to the objects of this world, but knowing how to employ them in the service of Krishna, yataham upayunjataha. And the detachment arises from bhakti. That's the point. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayat yashu vairagyam jnanam chayada haitukam. By performing unalloyed devotional service, unmotivated devotional service to Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowledge and renunciation automatically arise. They are the children of Bhakti Devi, as we learn from Padma Purana. They're the offspring, we learn from the Bhagavat Mahatmya of Padma Purana. They're the offspring, they're the natural offspring of devotion. So in bhakti, the stress is on attachment, not detachment. We're discussing Nivritatma, the Lord who is detached, but in bhakti, the stress is more on attachment. And definitely in Gaudiya Siddhanta, the stress is, I was just saying, there's no mundane distinction, higher or lower, but definitely there's more stress on Krishna's Vraja Leela, his Gopi Leela, than on his Narayan Rishi Leela or his Rishabdev Leela. Although actually you'll find the great Gaudiya Acharya of the present time, Srila Prabhupada, he would talk about the need for rules and regulations according to our need. But in the writings of the Acharyas, where we have to aim high, we find the strong attachment of God, his strong attachment of the Supreme Lord to the gopis. And actually we'll find throughout his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, Parashara Bhatta has stressed throughout on the bhaktavatsalya, the attachment of the Lord for his devotee. So we laud him more for his attachment, or we stress on that, more than his detachment. Although he is detached, that has to be seen. He's detached also. But his attachment, that we can also learn from him. We should learn detachment. Don't be attached to anything in this world for the sake of sense gratification. But we can learn from his attachment. His attachment to young girls, well, that can be seen in this material world. What can we learn from that? Well, we can learn, Rupa Goswami teaches us, extracting from, again, I believe, Padma Purana, yuvatinam yata yuni, yunang cha yuvato yata, mano bhiramate tadvan mano me ramatam twai. So this is an example given that young boys have a natural attraction to young girls, and young girls have a natural attraction to young boys. So I am praying at your lotus feet that my mind may become attached to you, Krishna, in the same spontaneous way. So we can see, how the young boys are attached to the young girls. In among the birds, you'll find they mate monogamously. Sparrows, crows, swans famously, swallows, there's one and one, one male, one female. They come together. Natural attraction, natural affection. So seeing that, we may think, well, may my attraction and affection for Krishna be spontaneous. So then where's Nivritatma? He's detached. Where is the detachment? He's everywhere. He's all-pervasive. But he's not attached to anything in this world for enjoyment because he has a higher taste. He is attached to Radha. He's madly in love with Radha. So what does he care for anything else? Well, he does care for his other devotees also. Sometimes people in love, they cannot even eat. They're so much consumed. Instead of consuming food, they themselves are consumed by feelings of love. But Krishna eats very well, again and again throughout the day. Of course, at his home, he eats food cooked by Radha, so he's very happy to eat her food. Otherwise, he might not eat at all, and that would be very distressing to Mother Yashoda. If he doesn't eat a lot, every day she becomes worried, as mothers generally are like that. They become worried if it's quite common among babies. They just don't feel like eating. You have to induce them to eat. At least that's in the West, maybe. In India also, I don't know. I didn't have kids, so I don't know. So this idea will become strongly attached. So that we can learn also. Be strongly attached and automatically strongly attached to Krishna and strongly detached from everything else. We can take another example. I was just talking about sparrows and crows, how they're attached, the male and the female. We see a certain type of detached people in this present age. Also, they're detached from everything else because they're so attached to, for instance, computer games. And they'll spend all day, all night. They don't want to eat. They don't want to sleep. They don't want to urinate. They'll go on and on and on for hours and hours playing computer games. They're addicted to it. Can we chant japa like that? Oh, if we had that kind of taste for chanting Hare Krishna, that we become completely detached from everything else. We should have that. We should aim for that, right? Addiction for Krishna. People may be attached to computer games. They may be attached to gambling. They vow, I'll never gamble again, and the next day they're back in the whatever it is, the bingo hall, losing money. An addiction, it takes over the mind. It's as if one is powerless. A person who's addicted to a strong drug like heroin, they may kill their own mother. If they see it as necessary to get her jewels, to sell them so they can buy heroin some more, they can't think rationally. They'll do anything. Their whole mind is consumed. I have to get money to get that drug. If I have to kill someone, I have to do it. They're just completely overtaken. So this way, if we can perform our bhajan, have like a thirst, so just a deep thirst, same thing. It's where I am now in South India, very hot at the present day, very, very hot. And if you don't drink water for some time, you're going to feel such a thirst, and you're more and more, you can't think of anything else. Got a drink. And there's your whole thought becomes consumed like that. So that we should have that thirst for serving Krishna and chanting the holy names. And we have to think also, that, am I doing this? Am I chanting Hare Krishna? Even if we do get some taste for chanting, we can think, am I doing this because it makes me feel happy? Or am I doing it because I want to make Krishna happy by doing it? If we think, I'll do it for my own happiness, well, that's a good start. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, Srila Prabhupada. He gave that motto. But really, the mood should be selfless. Radha teaches that. We cannot attain the position of Radha, but we can imbibe her mood of selfless service. Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumama darshanan marmahatam karotu va yatatata va vidatatu lamparto mat prananatas tu sa eva naparaha. Selfless service. You make me happy by embracing me? Very nice. If you make me broken-hearted by not being present before me, or you cruelly trample me under your feet, not very nice. But whatever way, I know you're a debauchee, you'll run off to other girls, whatever way, you are the life of my life. That's it. No questions. Foolish from material point of view, yes. That's gone beyond the level of mundane logic, the gopis. From the platform of thinking coolly, rationally, what is proper, what is not proper, what is for my benefit, what is not for my benefit, far, far beyond that is the platform of how the gopis are serving Krishna. Even the high transcendentalists, they're left far, far behind. Swarasaki Siddhi Braja Gopiadan Paramachanchala Sati Jogiradhyan Nirvisheshagyan Nirvisheshagyan Jogiradhyan Ekani Napai Stiti. Even the high class yogis, they cannot even begin to enter that platform of the gopis' personal services to Krishna. Is their inherent, natural, loving propensity to love Krishna, which is the wealth of it's the wealth of their lives, which is simultaneously, seemingly very cunning and moving like a lightning cloud and indefinable, and at the same time very, very chaste to Krishna. And the great yogis and impersonalists, they cannot even begin to understand such things. They're completely on the platform, let us please Krishna. So that's a very, very, very high platform, but we can incorporate that into our very being. And then our Krishna consciousness really takes off when we really think, as Lord Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion, thy will not mine be done. Or an even higher platform, I don't have any will of my own. What is that Bhaktivinoda again sings? Nija sukha lagi hetu charya. I don't remember exactly, but he said, I've given up all plans for my own happiness. Bhaktivinoda bale tava sukha sha. The Bhaktivinoda says that your happiness, Krishna, that is the essence of my life and my being. So, this is the platform. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the mood of complete renunciation. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir haituki twai. I don't want the things of this world, wealth, fame, money, all these things. Followers, adoration, distinction. I don't want liberation. I only want service to you. Why? No reason. Ahaituki. That's what I pray for. Absolutely surrendered. So we should, this is it, be detached from everything material and attached to the service of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And have that never decreasing thirst. We're thirsty, we drink water, but still we're thirsty. That's material life. That Lochandas was, it was a, I'm living in the water, but my, how does he sing? Niramadde nibash negelo piash. I'm living in the middle of water, but my thirst doesn't go away. So in the same, that is our material condition. We're doing so many things for pleasure, but we never get, we just want more and more and more. So spiritually, if we can develop that, that's very good. And that's what we can learn from Krishna in his renunciation. His renunciation comes because he has the higher taste. Yeah, it's true for him also. Parameshwara Krishna, take how Oti Krishna, Bhajatare Braja Bhavaloya, Rashika Pakata Shange, Bihare Jatarange, Brajapure Boshati Karan. This describes Oti Krishna, thirst. To have great thirst for worshipping Krishna in the mood of knowing him to be the Supreme Lord, but worshipping him in the mood of Vrindavan with the rasik devotees, living in Vrindavan. This is Narottam Das Thakur's aspiration. So renounced, young age, he left home, left all prestige of being very rich man's son, as he would clean the stool place of his guru in Vrindavan, which no one does that. No one does that. In India, who will clean up the stool of someone else? That is only for the certain caste, the lowest, the bhangis. Only they will do it. And the faithful servants of their guru will do. No one else will do. Paramanagara Krishna. That's a Paramaishwara Krishna. Paramanagara Krishna. Tahe Hawati Krishna. Worship him with thirst. So this renunciation that goes simultaneously and is subordinate to Krishna's love, his attachment, Krishna's renunciation. As I said, it was unexpected for me when I first came across this Aishwarya, Samagrasya, Virya, all these renunciation, it was a surprise for me. He's supreme. Mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti dananja. Nothing, no truth higher than me. But mai sarvamadang protam sutre manigana eva. There's no truth higher than me, but he's hidden. The pearls cannot be held up without the string. So he gives the example, he's like the string, quietly holding everything up. No one praises, oh, what nice string you have around your neck. They say, oh, you have nice pearls around your neck. But actually, the pearls are resting on the string. The whole material cosmos is held up by Krishna. And he is much more than everything in the whole material creation put together. It's ekang shena stito jagat. With just a tiny fragment of his glories, he maintains the whole, everything. So how great is he? Mayata tamidang sarvang jagada vyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani. Nachahang teshva vastitaha. By me, Krishna says, in my unmanifested form. That's a bit of a strange term, you might think. Avyakta murti. Because avyakta means unmanifested, and murti gives the idea of a particular form. So by me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. He maintains everything, but at the same time, he's detached. Nachamatstani bhutani pasya me yoga maishvaram. Bhuta brinnacha bhuta stoma matma bhuta bhavanaha. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. So Krishna said, I'm holding everything up, but you don't see me, and I'm not really part of it at all. More verses from Gita, by which we can understand how Krishna creates, maintains, and destroys everything, but at the same time, he's detached from it all. Prakritim svamavashtabhya visrijami punah punaha bhuta grama mimam krishnam avashang prakrite avashat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will, it is annihilated at the end. So, okay, Krishna's in charge, right? But the next verse, nachamang tani karmani nibadhanti dhananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktang teshu karmasu. O Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth. You conquered wealth? Well, it's all made by me. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. He's detached. He's everything. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Not a blade of grass even exists without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. But he's detached. I'll read from the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada's purport. One should not think in this connection that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no engagement. In the spiritual world, he's always engaged. In other words, he's detached from this material. He glances. Saikshata. He glances over the material world and brings it into being. He's detached from it. But Srila Prabhupada writes, in his spiritual world, he is always engaged. In Brahma Sanghita, it is stated, Amaramasya tasyasti prakritya na samagamaha. He is always involved in his eternal, blissful, spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with these material activities. Material activities are being carried on by his different potencies. Now, I'm going to quote a verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes more than once in his Gita purports from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which he doesn't quote here, but it fits right here, so I'll quote it. Natasya karyam karanang ca vidyate na tatsamas chabhyadikascha drishyate parasya shakti vividhaiva shuyate swabhaviki gyanabala kriyacha. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do. He's not bound to do anything. No one is equal to him. No one is seen. It's not possible to have anyone equal to him or greater than him. Chavidyate, natasya karyam. It is understood that he has no work to do. It is seen that there is no one equal to him or greater than him. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shuyate. It is heard that that he has various energies, and those energies are his automatic inherent energies, the energies of, or the potencies of jnana, knowledge, bala, power, strength, and kriya activity. So continuing Srila Prabhupada's purport here, The Lord is always neutral in the material activities of the created world. This neutrality is mentioned here with the word udasinavat. So this exactly fits with Nivritatma, he's detached. This neutrality is mentioned here with the word udasinavat. Although he has control over every minute detail of material activities, he is sitting as if neutral. The example can be given of a high court judge sitting on his bench. By his order, so many things are happening. Someone is being hanged. Someone is being put into jail. Someone is awarded a huge amount of wealth, but still he is neutral. He has nothing to do with all that gain and loss. Similarly, the Lord is always neutral, although he has his hand in every sphere of activity. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is stated, Vaishamya Nayagrinye Na. He is not situated in the dualities of this material world. He is transcendental to these dualities, nor is he attached to the creation and annihilation of this material world. The living entities take their different forms in the various species of life according to their past deeds, and the Lord doesn't interfere with them. So, and that's another way he's detached. That the living beings, they go on with their material life, they get their fruits, and he's upadrashtanu mantacha. He oversees it all. He allocates through his agencies that you get this body, just like the high court judge, he may this one be hanged, this one be awarded wealth, but he's detached from it all. He oversees it all, he's detached from it all. Okay, all these points could be elaborated much, 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 much more. Just going through relatively briefly. And now another Gita verse demonstrating Krishna's detachment from everything. Namam karmani, not from everything, not from Radha, not from Arjuna, not from his even most neophyte devotees, and actually not even from the jivas. He does feel for them, but in his role as the overseer of the material world, he's neutral and detached. So anyway, this is again from Bhagavad Gita. Namam karmani limpanti name karma pale spriha. Iti mam yo bijanati karma bhya na sabhadyate. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. So in this way, I've been reading from Srila Prabhupada's writings about the detachment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you might think, well, Srila Prabhupada doesn't write, we don't see much about it in his books, but actually it is there, just we have to dig it out. You have to be an expert miner, geologist of Srila Prabhupada's books. Everything's in there. Everything we need for our perfection of spiritual understanding. But we may need to dig a bit to find out, to find everything. All right, so I've found some more. There are many, many more in the books about the detachment of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna willing, I'll speak on this more in another session. So although three times already spoken on Nivritatma, and this time speaking two, and then the next three sessions. So we can see this, even though these talks are just introductory, we can begin to get an idea of how much depth there is in every name of the Supreme Lord and everything to be understood about him. And hopefully we can become serious about understanding all these points about the Supreme Lord and realize the importance of it. And in this way, become detached from all whimsical, ephemeral interests of this material world. It's no small thing to understand God. It's not a part-time job. It's not a hobby, as Narayan Rishi shows, as Rishabdev shows, as so many great transcendentalists have shown throughout the year. If you really want to get God, it's all or nothing. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Savadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Oh, so everyone has to take sannyas? Well, we can ask Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's an amazing paradox how someone who was so active in the material sphere was also completely God intoxicated, showing an example for Grihastha devotees also. So, I'll leave it there for now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Bhishma Dev, the speaker of Vishnu Sahasranam. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, in whose presence he spoke it. All glories to Yudhishthira, who prompted him to speak this. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to all the innumerable devotees. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dante Nithaya Churnakang Padayane Patya Kritva Chakaku Shadametara Hamravimi. He Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durat. Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurutanuraga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makaro navayang vichara yama. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama. Niravishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.